Hello, hello, everyone. Hope you're having a great day. Today is a great day, and I hope that if you're not having a great day, your day will be much better after you get introduced and get to know my wonderful, amazing guest today, who is Renee Robertson Sievert. And Sievert, sorry, my God, Renee. Renee, lucky Renee, is based in San Diego, California, beautiful part of the world. And Renee, my goodness, Renee, her CV and resume is about 8 pages long. And similar to me, we're a collector of credentials. And I mean, I don't even know where to begin, except to say that she is brilliant, amazing, and a dear friend. And with 30 years experience in the healthcare field, a master's degree in counseling psychology, a master certified Martha Beck coach, a trainer with Martha Beck, a master certified Equus coach and facilitator, and on and on and on and on. And with that, I think I will just give the reins over to my favorite Equus coach, Renee. So welcome to the show, Renee.
Well, thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here and excited to talk to you, first of all, and all of your guests who are listening, and just share anything that I can that will help ignite.
Yes, wonderful.
And their, their way of being.
Wonderful. Thank you, Renee. Well, that is exactly what this show is about. It's just a short chat, and you know, hoping that clients will or listeners will take away a few tips on how they might ignite their life. But before we dive into that, maybe just tell us a little more about you and about what you do and kind of where, what's going on for you? What are you looking forward to in 2019?
Oh, I love that. Well, let's see where to start. I guess one of the things that I've been thinking about a lot lately and saying out loud, either when I teach or when I'm working with clients, is why I love coaching so much and why, you know, all the things that I get to do are so fun. And I wish I could tell you I planned it all, you know, all these credentials and all that, but it was really more somewhere early in my life, just feeling like I don't want to ever have a job that I don't like. Mm-hmm. And to get up every day, look forward to what I do. So, you know, I was doing one thing and then it'd be like, oh, that looks fun too. So I do this and then I'll learn to be a coach and oh, I'll add horses to that.
Yeah.
It was really all about following my passion so that I could feel so alive every day. And one of the things I love about coaching, because I was also a therapist at one point, is, you know, we need both in the world, obviously. Mm-hmm. But when I was a therapist, I was, the expert, and people would come, we'd do a big assessment and here's what these symptoms mean, and then here's what that's called, and here's what you can do about it. So it's really telling people maybe something they don't know about themselves and how to help that. But with coaching, it feels a lot more like people come and they have something they want to do or something that's getting in the way of something they want to do. And so then we can really move forward together, sort of on the same level. And it's really about coming home here, like back to what I know about myself that maybe I've stopped listening to, or, you know, I've been told it has to be this way in my work or my organization or my relationship, but having somebody to say, wait a second, what do you know for yourself? And then how do you treat yourself when you know that or when you're not listening to that? So I think that's a big part of where all of this has led me. And of course, the horses bring such a beautiful co-facilitator role to that, because when I'm speaking the truth, they stand right next to me and lower their head and look at you. And when I'm telling myself a story, they're like, see, there's rats over there. I'm going to go eat.
That's right. So, I don't trust you. I'm not going to follow you. You're not the real deal. Yeah.
It's like the perfect mirror.
Yes.
So that's what I look forward to. I get to do Equus coaching with individuals and with teams. I love that because it always creates some sort of shift that then they can, you know, go and keep doing. And I get to do that all over the nation. And it looks like I might actually be able to go out of the country for a workshop soon, which I don't want to jinx it by saying, but that would be fun. And leadership development and coaching. And I love being a teacher and sharing what I know. So those are all things on it that are filling up my calendar next year. I also love to partner with other coaches and, you know, do what you love and bring what I love along with it and pair it together. So mm-hmm. I'm open to that. I find a lot more lately that I love collaborating mm-hmm. and working with other coaches or other teachers and trainers, because then I get to keep learning. And, you know, at the end of the day, saying, oh, what worked? What could we have done different? So those are some of the fun things on my calendar.
Oh, I love that. And I know you and I have talked, I think, for years now on doing something together, but I think 2019, we are definitely going to do it, because I think that time I was living in Dubai still, so it was a little tricky, but I'm back in North America, at least here in Canada. And at least I'm on the west side. We're close. We can make something happen. And
same time zone. That helps.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So that would be magical. You know what I'd love to chat about, Renee, is because I, of course, you know, my clients know, and you know that I also use the horses and do equus coaching with my clients when I get the opportunity in team building or leadership development or healing. And mm-hmm. so how would you describe equus coaching to someone who has no clue? I have my way to explain it. I'd love to hear how you explain it. Let's just assume our listeners have no idea what equus coaching is or the benefit of it.
Okay, I'd love, it's one of my favorite topics.
Yes.
The start of it is that with horses, because they are prey animals, it's a very different experience than what can happen like with therapy dogs, for example. You know, the meat eaters, they're predators like us, and they want to please us. Whereas a horse, as a herd animal, a prey animal, their world is really very simple. It's, am I safe? And if I'm safe, I can relax, I can eat, I can interact with you. So constantly viewing their environment to see, you know, to what degree of threat is there around me. And I think a lot of us live that way without realizing it. You know, our brain is picking up on all of that.
Yeah.
We don't have, because we have language, we tell ourselves a story about what's happening around us, and then we believe that story.
Yeah. So
being with the horses is a really, we can slow everything down and take a look at what is the story I'm telling myself about my life, my work, my relationships. Mm-hmm. Ask myself, you know, am I safe? How am I creating safety around me? Mm-hmm. Are people around me that aren't safe, or a job that doesn't feel safe? And what do I want to do about that? Because the horses are going to reflect that back. So step number one is, you know, just having a conversation with somebody in the presence of a horse and watching what happens.
Yes.
I have a new horse that I just rescued, and I was at the ranch a couple days ago, and I was, just really trying to be present with the horse, and I was asking her, you know, do you know that you're safe? And I was having this little conversation. You never have to pull a card again. You're not going to have to do that kind of work. There's a different work that I hope you'll do. And I was listening to another conversation. There were other people on the ranch. And the other conversation started to sound heated. Mm-hmm. And attention drifted over there. And I the only reason I noticed it drifted, because the horse walked away from me.
Yeah.
And I, what just happened? And it was because I started to feel worried about what I was hearing over there. Mm-hmm. Horse picked it up in a heartbeat. And I was like, interesting. So, you know, if we're working on being present, if we're working on being authentic or congruent, mm-hmm. great place to start with the horse. And every relationship needs that. Every team needs that. It's so basic
mm-hmm.
for us to have an opportunity to say, wait a minute. What does it feel like to be still? What does it feel like to tell the truth to myself?
Right.
What's the reaction I get from the horse? So we start, you know, basic, and I love doing workshops because everybody gets one-on-one first.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could start anywhere. I typically say, what is something that's a challenge or a struggle, or what do you want to set an intention to work on? And then just go in and interact with the horse and see what comes up.
Yes.
And really, equus coaching, I think, is it's a simple concept, but it takes a lot of presence for the coach, is to then watch for a pattern that shows up.
Yes.
Right there in the moment, and then bring it to light and say, are you aware of this pattern? What do you want to do with it? And then people can shift the pattern right there, try something new, and they have that to take out to the real world.
Yeah.
And then later in the day, if it's a team, we get to do fun team activities where all the team dynamics come up, and then we can just watch what's present and what wants to change, and we can work with that. And one of my favorite sayings that I've learned from Equus is, if I change the way I'm looking at the environment and the feedback, instead of it's good, bad, right, or wrong, it's just good to know, then everything's just feedback. I don't have to judge it. So this good to know concept really, I think, is helpful to us in our relationships, and then also for teams. It's like, oh, it doesn't have to be bad that you're doing that. It's just, oh, if I do this, that happens. Well, that's good to know.
That's right. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
So seemingly simple, but yet so powerful and profound, and actually.
Complex and deep and life-changing in just one little session. So that's exciting.
Yeah. And
most people come out, they've never been around a horse. You know, a lot of folks that come to the ranch to work with me, they're like, what? Gonna work. So it's great to enter, and it's outdoors usually, and we're out in nature. Mm-hmm. You know, just watching the horses communicate with each other with no language. Mm-hmm. Always great in terms of coming back home to ourselves.
Yeah.
Like what are we really noticing and feeling in the world, and what are we telling ourselves about that? Mm-hmm. And really true.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the horses also, the neuroscience and even in my study of conversational intelligence with Judith Glaser's work is, or the Heart Math Institute or any of that around neuroscience, you know, it's our brains and our heart brain and our gut brain and everything else, but it's, you know, the energy that we put out in our 10-foot field, you know. Yes. We do read it from each other, especially if we've got a little heightened awareness. Some people need to learn how to do that, or aren't aware of how they, the energy they're putting out, but the horse is the instant feedback loop. Instant feedback, you know, like when you were speaking with the horse and engaged and present and putting out your loving energy and engaging energy to the horse was present with you.
Right.
Wondering if they should follow you and see you as a leader. But as soon as you shifted your attention to something else that wasn't the horse, and then add to that, you know, your energy of, the horse is like, I'm out of here. Like, this is not a place to be safe or to trust or to everything else. And, you know, human beings on a team, you know, if you don't have trust, you really don't have anything. So it kind of starts from there, right?
And that's just a really good example, because I got tangled up in something that was outside of my business in the moment. And how often do we do that? And it shifts what's happening right here in the moment. And then that person will make a story about why I shifted, and they won't check it out with me.
That's right.
It goes on and on and on. And so then our days are filled with assumptions about what's going on.
Yes.
And if we ever check that out, you know, that becomes our life. So it's a great way to get back to some of the basics of communication. Mm-hmm. And horses and human brains are very similar up to a point, right? You know, our fight, flight, freeze is, I mean, they're just super heightened because they're prey animals. And sensory motor, they evaluate the whole environment with their senses, not with their words.
Right.
So, you know, then after that, we have language to make sense out of everything. Mm-hmm. And go off down that path and forget to check in with our body. How does this feel? What's the energy I'm bringing? I love that you brought that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of times people say, whoa, that's the same energy I bring at work, and no wonder people are running from me.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I want to ask you in a minute, what was maybe one of your most beautiful moments to watch in a transformation with a client through the Equus, but I just on that energy note, I remember working with a brilliant CEO from Venezuela and getting him in the round pen with the horse and asking him to go through the series of, you know, just with your energy, no words, no lead line, you know, get this horse to walk, trot, lope, you know. And that's just with your energy. I mean, it's a push pull, all the rest of it. And so all he could do was get that horse to gallop 1,000 miles an hour because the horse, I mean, he's very, you know, he was highly arrogant, highly successful and highly capable and all of that. But he was, you know, he was a hitting people in the side of the head with hammers kind of leader. And, you know, that wasn't really transferring well, although with his multinational organization. So God bless him. He was open and willing, but he, you know, that was, he fell to his knees in tears. And he went to anger. He went to frustration. And then he went to meltdown. And then the horse came over to him, right? To say, hey, buddy, you know, I'm here with you. If you're willing, I'm willing. And it was, I remember there wasn't a dry eye around that pen watching this, which was his global team. And it was the most beautiful moment. I think one of the most beautiful moments I ever witnessed in my coaching. So tell us about one of your stories.
Well,
many to choose from.
Gosh, there's so many. I know. I'm just like sifting through the files here. I was one of three coaches in a workshop for healthcare providers, and these were all super tired, exhausted practitioners. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was interesting because we divided into three groups, and it, just the luck of the draw or the universe having a hand in it. You know, one group were very confused about what they wanted to do and how they wanted to change. One group were kind of angry, you know, just really angry at the system. And there was another group that were all really sad and tired because they'd chosen the helping profession to be physicians and practitioners to help people. And they were just exhausted. Some of them had chronic fatigue. Some of them had depression. And I ended up with that group. And so, you know, we did our little demo of how you can move the horse around. And one of the next people came up, and the person, she said, she's looking at me and the horse behind her. She said, honestly, I don't think I have the energy to even ask the horse to move. You know, she started telling a little bit of her story. And I was watching the horse inside the round pen. We were still outside. And I said, look over your shoulder. And the horse was dropping to the ground and lying down.
Just taking on her energy.
Just, I'm going to lie down, take care of myself. And she turned around and looked at me and she said, and I said, so there's your message. Like, you don't have to go in and do anything. Obviously, the horse just wants to lie down and rest.
Yes.
What do you make of that? And she was like, oh my gosh, I haven't done that in so long.
Yes.
So she went in, and, you know, the whole session was about, what if you really listen to what you need and what your body needs to be doing instead of, you know, trying to see 14 patients in an hour and, you know, how that makes into a day. And, and you know, as she started processing that, the horse did get up, but stood very gently next to her.
Yeah.
And at one point, she was kind of wiping tears like this, and she held her hands out, and the horse put its nose right in her hands.
Yeah.
And stayed there. And, you know, horses lay down during the day, but they don't get down and lay down like that. That was profound.
Yeah.
And she was standing there with the horse's nose in her hands. Really, it was just noticing. You don't have to assess this horse. You don't have to treat it. You don't have to help it. Mm-hmm. It's here for you.
Mm-hmm.
It was an incredible moment for her.
Yes.
And the folks were getting pictures of that. At one point, she had her head down. The horse had its nose right here. Another time right here. And this was a horse earlier with another client that had been running all around the round pen.
Yes.
They come in and they sense, you know, where the energy is. And,
yes.
And I love it because you can't script it, you know, as a coach to have a co-facilitator that reads what's happening so quickly without having to plan it ahead of time. So it was very, very touching.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other one that came to mind was a brand new manager, a young guy in his 20s. And his intention going in is, he said, I'm a new manager and I need to be more firm. I'm going to have to find my manager self and be firm.
Yeah.
I was like, this is interesting. And I said, okay, we'll give it a try.
Yeah.
So he's in there doing that, trying to be firm, and the horse is having none of this. And all his coworkers are kind of laughing, like, oh my gosh. And so I said, well, how's it going?
Yeah.
Great. You know, and I said, well, if you weren't trying to be firm and be the manager, and you were just being yourself and bringing that, you know, what would that look like? And how would this look different? Mm-hmm. And I tried that, and it was great connection, great energy. The course was following directions, you know, walk, trot, banter.
Yes.
The debrief was, you know, when we try to be something we're not, because we think it's an expectation, it's not going to come across authentic. We always have to start where we are.
That's right.
Skills or the training, and we build confidence. But most folks are out there trying to be something that's expected, and it's exhausting. Mm-hmm. And it takes us further and further away from ourselves, our true selves.
Absolutely. So you're living unauthentically, but mm-hmm. but more than that, I mean, it's not effective. I mean, it's not like my Venezuelan. I mean, that's the way he led his team, and most people ran around like chickens with their head cut off, right? Afraid of him, and mm-hmm. or learning to be sneaky and avoid, mm-hmm. you know. I mean,
or try to bribe and cajole.
Exactly. Right. And manipulate, right? Which is not what you want. It's not how to get the brilliance out of your team, for sure. And like your who is, you know, exhausted, you know, my guess is she's probably taking that exhausted energy back home to her family, you know, to her friends, and making them feel the way the horse was feeling. So, and what a beautiful doing for her.
And interestingly, you know, in a herd, there's always a leader, and it's your lead mare out in the wild, and the stallion has a really important job too. But the lead mare eats first, sleeps first, takes care of herself first, you know, and her other job is to, you know, pay attention to the safety and the unity of the herd. Mm-hmm. But all of our leaders were taking care of themselves first. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then paying attention to safety and unity as we work towards our goals and our mission and our vision.
Right.
The difference that would be. So the horses have just such great lessons. And you and I both know, because we've been through similar trainings for 360s.
Yes.
You could do these surveys and people could get this feedback and read it and not believe it and dismiss it. But when there's a, you know, 100-pound animal in front of you, showing you what this looks like, it's really hard to dismiss it.
Yes. Oh, that is so, I love what you say there, because it has deep meaning for me and it's based in reality, because it is exactly right. I mean, you know, as a coach, it's sometimes challenging work to do a debrief going through a 360. Because, you know, let's be fair, a real good 360 sometimes does feel like a kick in the stomach, because it brings up all of our blind spots and all of, you know, if people have done it in an honest way, and it's sometimes hard to take. And so people will dismiss it, get angry, you know, don't they know who I am? You know, it's, you know, have a problem with the Raiders. I mean, they'll go all, you know how it is in a debrief. They're going everywhere, making excuses, you know, all the rest of it. But as you say, let's get them in a round pen and show us your leadership style. Yeah. Like my Venezuelan with the horse running around crazy, just in fear. You know, okay, you might be showing up like this, you know, let's revert back to that 360 and let's see what they had to say. So I love
that takes us back to the perception, which the horse shows us right away, you know,
like straight away.
Because when we look at the feedback, my favorite thing to say is, okay, this is people's perception of you, is it true?
Yeah
Well, no, that's not how I want to come across. Well, so then,
yeah,
how do you change the perception? You change the perception by letting people know your intentions. Mm-hmm. What's the saying? People judge us by our behavior, but we judge ourselves by our intentions.
Yeah.
So if somebody's seeing behavior and they're reading it in a way that I'm not sure, the best thing for me to do is say, whoa, I just saw your reaction. And, you know, let me just be clear what my intention was here. It wasn't, you know, to pigeonhole you or upset you or confront you or whatever. This was my intention, and I'll clear that up. So, and you know, the horse is a great place to practice that, because you're like, oh wait, why is the horse moving away from me or moving so fast? That wasn't my intention. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they're reading it that way. What do I need to shift?
That's right.
Quick to say, okay, here's what you need to do different.
But yeah.
all we can change is ourselves, right?
No, exactly. And it's great practice to get to put that into play. It's so brilliant what you said there. I just like to go back to it in that, you know, our behaviors are not always reflecting our intention, right? So we see ourselves by our intentions, where others see us by our behaviors. And I mean, that's what we call the blind spot, the gap, you know, in coaching. And that is so, so elegant and brilliant. I love that. So I'm going to remember.
Yeah, I wish I'd know who said it first, because then I could give them credit.
Yeah.
We can look it up.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. Well, yeah. Whoever they are, they're brilliantly intent on their messaging. I love it. So awesome. Well, you know, it's been a pleasure. And I just, you know, you and I could talk forever, especially on one of our favorite topics. But with that, can you just tell the listeners where they might find you online? And I would absolutely encourage you to get familiar with Renee. But yeah, tell us where they can find you online.
Well, there's two places. I do teaching and training and some individual work on my website, sievertservices.com. It's just my last name. sievertservices.com, and that's also my email, sievertservices@AOL. And the executive coaching firm that I work with is P-Link Leadership. That's for Positivity Link Leadership. That's just plinkleadership.com. And there's a team of us that work with bigger organizations, and I'm just so fortunate to work with 5 other coaches and a couple of other folks that, you know, it's just great to be with like-minded people and have a team. As I said earlier, I like working with people now. Mm-hmm. They're on my own solo, and it's fine, but I love collaborating. So I would love to meet your listeners, the folks that follow you, and we definitely need to plan something for 2019. That'd be
yes. Fun. No, I love that. I'd love to do something either around San Diego, I love, or Scottsdale, or you know, somewhere around there. I'm sort of looking at planning a couple of retreats next year anyway. But anyway, that's a whole, oh my God, we could brainstorm forever on that too. Yeah, exactly.
But, so stay tuned for our retreat.
Oh, exactly. It's coming soon, 2019. Absolutely. Yeah. It'll be exciting. So I always close my podcast with asking the guest, what do you do personally on a daily basis to ignite yourself?
Well, I think the most consistent practice that I have daily it's just a simple thing at the end of the day where I bring to mind 3 things that I'm grateful for. And I do that for my happiness. I think a lot of people think that happy people are grateful, but really people that have a gratitude practice are happier. And, you know, you can go to University of Pennsylvania with, you know, positive psychology. There's all kinds of research on this. So, and some days it's, you know, I have a huge list, and other days that are more trying, it's like, okay, I saw a butterfly.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. It was sunshine today, and, you know, I didn't have to be in traffic. So, yeah. But just 3 things every day, and I actually write them in a book, and then I can go back sometimes when I'm, you know, grieving or something's happening, and I can read and see the themes, mm-hmm. and actually put myself out there to do something that's going to bring some joy. Days when I can't think of that, so very helpful for me.
I really, really love that, Renee. You know, the piece I love about that, that you do is keeping it in the, and I like that you do it in the evening. That's really cool. A lot of people do their stuff, do their rituals in the morning. I like that you do it in the evening. What a beautiful way to close down for the evening. But I love the idea of looking for themes when you go back looking through. And look for the themes of what does bring you joy and happiness and fill your soul. That's really beautiful.
It's and really nature and the universe is talking to us. You know, all of our answers that we're asking are out there, and we're not listening to the messages. So looking through that really helps.
Yeah. And then what are you noticing, right? Like, what are you noticing that bring you joy? Is it the theme? That's very cool. I'm going to have to look back on my gratitude journals now and see what my themes are. I have a feeling it's music and animals and nature. And I know that I was having a bad day, just, you know, like I got off kilter. And I remember thinking, okay, let's just take a breath. What am I grateful for? And I remember it was like, it came to us like, oh my God, I was at Starbucks. I heard this woman's laugh. It was like one of the best laughs I've ever heard in my life. And it made me giggle the whole way home. Right. And I'm like, okay, so it's the smallest of joys in your day that, you know, it doesn't have to be the big grandiose things like, oh, I won that award or my children or, you know, this amazing car I just bought or whatever. It's the tiniest things sometimes that bring us the greatest joy, so, and have meaning for us. So wonderful. Well, thank you. And thanks for sharing your brilliance with us. And until next time, get out there and ignite and light yourself on fire and let your sparks fall on others. And let's change up the world together. And we'll speak to you next time. Bye-bye. Thanks, Renee. Thank you.